Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever told you guys this, but I really love this teaching. You know, I don't know, does it show sometimes? I mean, I just do. And I love it because it is simple without being simplistic. It is pure without being sterile. It is deep without the danger of drowning us. I could go on for a long time with that, you know. But one of the things I find most interesting is people who understand this teaching or who learn this teaching at a very surface level and just take what they see as what they get, and they don't get down into the depth. Well, the title of my talk today is Sometimes You Have to Say No. And some of the responses I got on Facebook and that when I put it on there was interesting. And some people were saying, well, duh, I know that. You know, that's pretty obvious. I have to say no all the time. But after we talk today, I think you may understand that in a slightly different way. Because it has been my observation through the years, okay, that most people who are involved in teachings like this one, New Thought Teaching, Science of Mind, Unity, all of those, tend to be very positive people. You agree with me? I think so, which makes perfect sense because this is actually a very positive teaching. Everything that we read, all the lectures, the books, the seminars, tell us to say yes to life. We make a conscious effort not to focus on negative conditions and negative experiences because we know that when we misuse the power of our conscious attention, that is, when we allow it to be fed by emotions like fear or anger or resentment or blame, it only makes things worse. All right, we know that. Hopefully, once we have been listening to this stuff for a while, we have learned not to fight the obstacles in our life because we know that anything we fight only gets stronger. So instead, we have learned to focus on more interesting, more exciting, and more life-affirming ideas because this power of life that is all around us is a power for good and we can use it. Dr. Holmes says that in the very beginning of The Science of Mind. But it's not just Dr. Holmes. This is what every single great spiritual teacher has ever told us. That is what this power that we call God, or whatever we call it, does for us. It doesn't decide what we deserve in life and what we don't. It doesn't keep score to determine where we go after we die. It doesn't tempt us with fun things so it can punish us if we pursue them, as a lot of people believe. It's a much bigger idea than that, all right? Instead, this one power supports us in creating a life that has all of the love, all of the joy, all of the peace, all of the prosperity, all of the good things that we are able to ask for and accept. Those two things. So what that means is when the gifts of life are offered to us, which they are continuously, we have to be open to them. We have to say yes in order to receive them. However, let's get into today's thing, okay? With all that being said, there's another side of the coin that we need to consider. Because no matter how positive we are, most of us don't actually say yes all the time. Nor should we. And I'm not just talking about accepting this or that or choosing this or that. I'll take this one and not that one. Not at that level. We're talking about the spiritual nature of making choices. Whether we're dealing with a great moral dilemma, a great ethical problem, or whether it's deciding what to eat to dinner, who to sleep with, or where to live. Questions at every level. You see, the obvious truth is, and we'll start with the obvious, when we say yes to one thing, we're also saying no to something else. Makes sense, right? Pretty obvious. For every person, thing, or condition that we accept in our life, there is something else at the same time that we are choosing not to accept. Now, most of the time, if we are thinking intelligently and creatively, as most of you usually do, we do this automatically. We do it almost by default. In other words, by choosing something that we love or choosing something that we know is good for us, we automatically say no to something that doesn't support us, which is good because that's a healthy way to live. That's when we know that we're listening to the spiritual wisdom that's inside of us, the spiritual wisdom that we were all born with. But sometimes the line, the shading between what we want and what we don't want, or between what's good for us and what isn't good for us, isn't all that clear. Especially when we have a big decision to make, you know, a big job change, or which person we want to continue a relationship, which investment we want to make. Whenever we have a big decision, we may agonize over that decision for days or even weeks and agonize over what we should or shouldn't do. And that's when having a little bit of clarity about what we don't want to do or what we know doesn't work can really, really help. In fact, whenever we have a difficult decision to make, immediately saying no to one or more of our options, preferably the ones that did not work for us before, may sometimes be the smartest thing that we can do because it opens things up a little bit. It kind of clears away the clutter so we can see things a little bit better. We may need to consciously release some old ideas that don't serve us anymore. Or we may need to tear ourselves away from some old, useless, or destructive habit patterns, like an unhealthy relationship, for example. We may need to do that before we can consistently move in a more positive direction. That's why saying no is a skill that we need to develop in a very specific way that I'll talk about today. There was a writer a number of years ago, about a dozen, 15 years ago, by the name of Dan Millman. Everybody remember him? The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. Excellent book if he hadn't read it. Sort of a classic. But he said in this book, I love it, he says, unless someone truly has the power to say no, they never truly have the power to say yes. Very interesting statement. That's what we're going to talk about today. Now, as I think back on my own life, because personal is what I use for a reference, I can see a very distinct difference between those times I did not say yes when I should have said yes, and those times I did not say no when I should have said no. Now, in the first case, when I was too chicken to say yes, and I said no instead for whatever reason, usually because I didn't want to disappoint someone, we all know what that's like, the worst thing that usually happened was that I missed out on some things that I might have enjoyed. I might have missed out on an opportunity or a trip or a very kinky, interesting relationship when I said no, okay, you know. That's why it took me a whole lot longer than it should have taken. Okay, besides the fact I was raised Catholic, that slowed things down a little too, okay? That's why it took me a lot longer than it should have taken for me to create the kind of life I have now, which is actually a very good life. But I finally figured out, finally, after years of practicing this teaching, and I've been in it 30 years this year, it was the times when I didn't have the courage to say no that caused me the most problems. All right. Once again, I usually had a very good reason, or so I thought. I didn't want to be rude. I didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings. I was afraid somebody wouldn't like me. That's always a big one. And as a result, I found myself more than once in situations that caused me a lot of unnecessary inconvenience, discomfort, or pain that I could have avoided very, very easily with no more than a simple smile and a polite, "No, thank you. I'd rather not." Would have saved me a lot. Now, sometimes when I didn't say no, it wasn't all that bad. All I had to go through was a very irritating but short-term situation that lasted for an evening or so, like having to go to dinner with somebody I couldn't stand or something like that. But sometimes when I didn't say no, the problem I created for myself lasted for years. The problem I created by not saying no lasted for years until the fine time finally came, which it always does, when I gathered the courage to do what I should have done in the first place. Now, one excellent example that comes to mind was a wedding that I was involved in quite a few years ago, about 30-some years ago. Actually, I was more than involved. I was the groom. you know. And I remember standing at the altar with 300 people or so in in Espiritu Santo Catholic Church in Safety Harbor, Florida, okay? And our families were big in the church and big in the community. Family, friends, all of them very happy and excited, except me, okay? And all I can remember thinking at the time was, why am I doing this? I'm too young to be married. I was 23 years old, you know, for God's sake. But at the time, I was such a dependable, well-behaved young man. There was no way I was going to disappoint all these people who had come to see a wedding, let alone the woman that I had proposed to. So I said yes, or actually I said I do, okay, when I knew in my heart that I should have said no, 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 hell no, okay? I knew it, all right? And sure enough, 10 years later, it could have happened sooner, it all came full circle when I finally got divorced. Now, looking back, once I got into this teaching, that was a big lesson for me, all right? Not at the time and not the only lesson, but one of the big ones, all right? It taught me that a clear and definite no may hurt a little bit at the time, or it may hurt a lot at the time, but a passive or wishy-washy yes can hurt a whole lot worse. A whole lot, ooh, everybody says, okay. Now, all right, I can hear what you guys think because I'm intuitive. So, I can hear some people thinking, well, there's a phrase that I have read in many metaphysical books, and I've read a lot of them. I can hear that too, okay? And that phrase is, the universe always says yes. Have you ever heard that, anybody? Okay, one or two of you? Sure, okay? People say it all the time in centers like this one. As a matter of fact, I bet there are probably at least, I'll say 5, maybe 10 people here who have a bumper sticker on their car that says that. All right, or a tattoo or something along those lines, okay, or a T-shirt, whatever. I've even said it from the platform, and so has David, haven't we? We have both said that, okay, pure confession. But to eliminate any confusion, let me tell you what it really means, or at least what I think it means. For one thing, it means that the universe will never correct us or second-guess us. That's one thing it means. It means that whatever we can believe is already ours in consciousness, we can have, okay? But it also means that the universe will not give us anything that we don't believe we can have or don't think we deserve. You with me? Okay. The universe will not support us in doing anything that we don't really believe we can do or creating anything that we don't really believe we can create. All right, that's what it means. In other words, and here's the tricky part. Here's the part I love. If you get nothing out of this today, get this. Not only does the universe say yes when we say yes, it also says yes when we say no. Ooh, digest that for a second, okay? Now, that's not necessarily good or bad. It just means that we have to pay attention not only to the answer we receive from the universe, which is always yes, okay, but even more importantly, we have to recognize the way that we're asking the question. That we are asking the question. For example, if we say to God, and by that I mean a power in here, not a power up there or out there somewhere, I'd like to be prosperous, but I can only be prosperous through this certain job, and it's probably not going to happen. As far as the law is concerned, that's the same as saying, no, I do not want to be prosperous. Not what we ask, but that's what the law hears, okay? And what's the answer we get? And so it is, right? That's what we get. Or if we say, you know, let's say we went to the doctor and we just got an unpleasant or unwelcome diagnosis. If we say, I'd like to be healed, but maybe this disease really is incurable, just like the doctors told me, that's the same as saying, no, I do not want to be healed, and that's exactly what happens. Exactly what happens. Because the universe is saying yes, not to our desire, not to our want, but to our doubt. To our doubt. So whether we think we are saying yes or no, we need to be clear about what we mean when we're saying either one. You see, a lot of people show up here, walk through this door for the very first time, or the door over at the Woodruff, or wherever you happen to start. A lot of people show up in this teaching when they start to realize that they have not been living the kind of life that they want to live. Quite simply, a lot might be divorce, might be illness, might be something, but when they realize they're not living a life that they really, really love, okay? So they're excited by the idea that they can finally choose to say yes to life and say no to some things that may have been holding them back as a part of their life for years. They can do that, and their world's not going to fall apart. They're excited when they figure that out. I mean, maybe they were feeling uncomfortable in the religion that they grew up with, or maybe they stopped believing in anything spiritual at all. A lot of people take that path. They had given up on religion, and then they found out there was actually something that made sense, and they showed up here. Maybe somebody shows up because they couldn't find peace in a relationship or a lifestyle that their parents and friends could accept. Maybe they were unhappy in a job that they went into right out of college. That's a big one. Happens a lot. I mean, it's amazing how many people choose their first career and maybe their only career because of what they thought their parents or their teachers expected. Happens all the time. Or because they never realized they were free to do something different. And I mean good careers. People who went into military careers, that's what I did. My father was career military. People who go into careers of medicine, law, business, very successful careers, okay? And that's just one part of our life. That's just our work life, okay? That's just one of several areas, a number of areas, where we can look at how different our life might have been if we were encouraged as children to say no. But we're not. Far from it. Instead, when we are 2 years old or so, the terrible twos, they call them, okay, and we tried to use this new and interesting word that we had just learned. How many people have had a two-year-old? Okay, how many people have a two-year-old now? How many people have been 2 years old? Okay, great, that covered. All right. So to barely, you know, every time we tried to use this new and interesting word that seemed to get everybody else all worked up, so it gave us a position of power, we were either reprimanded, corrected, or in my case, smacked up beside the head. All right. So at a very early age, we associated saying no with making other people unhappy, and eventually we stopped saying it. We stopped saying it. That's why so many of us end up with life experiences that we didn't need to have. We need to remember that this teaching is about one thing, and that is personal choice. Personal choice. And there's no question that being able to say no is an important part of a power of our power to choose what we will and will not attract into our life. But we have to be very clear how we say it. Not just the word no, but the power, the thought, and the belief behind the word. Behind the word. For example, if we are constantly saying no, in whatever words we use, to some part of our past in an effort to separate ourselves from it, whether it's family history, abusive relationship, what neighborhood we grew up in, what school we went to, some traumatic event that happened in our child, if we are going, no, I'm not that, and we do it in an angry, resentful, or judgmental way, it will be virtually impossible to get it out of our mind. You realize that? Virtually impossible to get it out of our mind. And as a result, we will never be able to overcome it or to grow beyond it. All right? We'll never be able to release and replace it with a better idea because our anger ties it to us. It ties it to us. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. If, however, we say no to the power of our past, instead of the events, that's something very different. I mean, we can still remember the things that happened, where we were, who was involved, what happened, but we can refuse to dwell on them in the present. We can stop feeding them with our emotional energy. We can stop making them bigger and badder than they really need to be. Instead, here's how we should handle it. Are you ready? Are you listening? Okay. Whenever some past experience starts to push our buttons and affect our present decisions, whether it was something that happened yesterday or something that happened 20 years ago, that's when we should say, in meditation, quietly by ourselves, however you want to do it, this is not an idea, a memory, or a feeling that I need or desire in my life. This event is over and done, and I give it no power. I release it back to the nothingness from whence it came. That's from Raymond Charles Barker, my teacher's teacher. I love that statement. Releasing it back to the nothingness from whence it came. And then we can let it go, not with anger and resentment, but with blessing and release. Not with judgment and criticism and self-righteousness, but with forgiveness, including self-forgiveness, and understanding. That is how we break the bonds that tie our old behaviors and beliefs to us, and finally move forward, free to create something new and better in our life. I guess what I'm saying here, let's just try it from another direction, is that the word no is not necessarily negative. It's not. In fact, it can be very positive and liberating if we use it in a healthy and creative way. In his book, The Power of Decision, Dr. Barker, the same Dr. Barker I just mentioned, he says this, very simple but very profound. He said, the word no declared in mind eliminates all congestion. The word no declared, that's firmly, in mind, eliminates all congestion. What happens when we remove congestion anywhere? Things start to flow. Things start to flow. We allow things to flow. You know, a lot of times a decision to hold on to something or someone that no longer serves any purpose in our life, that's even more important than making a decision to be open to new possibilities. Because we've got to make room for the new ideas before we can take them in, all right? We all have this inner wisdom, part of our inner God self, if you want to call it that. This inner wisdom in our heart and our mind that tells us when we need to keep some person or some condition in our life and when we need to let it go. Sometimes saying yes or maybe means keep it, but only a no, a firm no, means I'm ready to let it go. And we spend a lot of time in the maybe area. You see, let me get a little bit into the teaching here. Just bear with me if you haven't been to classes, but it will make sense to you, I think. You see, our subconscious mind understands the word no, but only when we say it clearly and directly from a place of power and understanding and conviction, rather than from a place of fear or uncertainty. And that's important for us to understand because, and this is the teaching part of the science of mind, our subconscious functions at the level of creation, while our conscious mind functions at the level of decision. Do you get the difference? Subconscious is it functions at the level of creation. Our conscious mind works at the level of decision. Now, there's only one mind. We're talking about two aspects of the one. So once we make our position clear in our own mind, our consciousness, which is the subconscious and conscious together, our consciousness immediately begins in the process of eliminating those ideas that are creating the undesirable condition, whatever it happens to be, to remain in our experience. Now, most of us say yes, if you want to get down to it, because other people expect us to say yes. You know, our friends, society, our boss, our mother, our spouse, our partner, whoever it happens to be. But once we learn to say no to living our life based on other people's expectations, it opens things up. It opens them up wide. It allows us to grow and move around in a much larger world than the people that we learned from or the people who treated us badly in the past. In other words, if we keep saying yes to blame, yes with blame and resentment, we stay in their world. We stay in their world. That's why we need to let them go. Now, this is not always easy to do. I'll be the first one to admit this. Because there's something very satisfying about being a martyr. All right? Are you listening, Mom? Yes, she will be. Okay. There's something very satisfying about holding a grudge. Right? Admit it? True. Okay? Especially when somebody done us wrong, as they say in the South. Okay? But releasing all that old unnecessary garbage by saying no to it in the right way is the only option that's spiritually correct. Now, if you ever need a good example, a historical example, I'm sure we're all familiar with, of how powerful the word no can be, look at Mrs. Rosa Parks. Remember her? Okay? For those of you who may have gone to northern schools, let me explain something, okay? She was a woman who refused to give up her seat on a city bus in Montgomery, Alabama, which the law at that time required her to do because of her race. She passed away about 10 years ago at the age of 92. Almost 60 years ago, December 1st, 1955, this quiet, lovely, genteel, amazing woman said the word no, and she started the modern civil rights movement. She did. But it was the way she said it that made it so powerful. She didn't say no because she was filled with resentment or hatred for the people or the system, as unjust as it was. She didn't say no because she was angry. She said no because she knew she was right. She knew she was right, and the law was wrong. She knew that. She refused to allow the rules of an old, misguided society to affect a decision that she had to make, not because she was trying to set an example, but because she knew exactly who she was. Exactly who she was. She was very clear in her own consciousness, okay? She knew that she was an individual expression of God who deserved the same respect as every other spiritual being. So there was no doubt in her mind that no was the only acceptable answer, no matter what the consequences. That brings to mind something Mahatma Gandhi, another famous naysayer, once said. What he meant when he said, "A no, exclamation point, a no uttered from the deepest conviction is better and greater than a yes merely uttered to please, or what is worse, to avoid trouble." To avoid trouble. Great statement. As much as we hate to admit it, we have all been taught from an early age to be part of a herd mentality, part of a social tribe, if you will. We are taught to follow the rules. We're taught not to stand out. We're taught not to rock the boat. But being part of a herd is not a very satisfying or powerful way to live. It's just a way to survive. It's just a way to survive, okay? It's a way to give in to the law of averages because we don't want to cause trouble. And for some people, average is good enough, all right? But not for me and not for you. Being normal and average may be a good way to be accepted by society, but it's a lousy way to grow beyond the limitations of the people who came before us. All right. Even when we feel that we are in the right, it's hard to say no when the weight of society and our friends and our family and the people all around us are telling us to sit down and be quiet. I mean, it's much more reasonable to stay within the boundaries, to color inside the lines, but no matter how you cut it, and this is not what we teach our kids, it's what they're teaching them in our kids program right now, though, there's a lot more room outside the lines than there is inside. A lot more room outside. And even though refusing to conform or refusing to agree may be scary, it can also be a lot more interesting. A lot more interesting. Because outside the conventional boundaries is the only place where real change can occur, both in our life and in the world. This will be the final point I want to get to. George Bernard Shaw, the great playwright, marvelous biography, he once said this. Listen carefully. It's hard to follow, but it's very profound. He said, "The reasonable man adapts himself to the world. The unreasonable man persists in trying to adapt the world to himself." And then he says, "Therefore, all progress depends upon the unreasonable man." Interesting. The unreasonable man. Or that bumper sticker, I love it, that says, "Well-behaved women seldom make history." You like that? All right, it's an Eleanor Roosevelt quote. I love it. I mean, think about it. Who are the people in society that we call unreasonable? All right? It's the people who say no. The people who say no. But those are the people who end up changing the world. As I have learned in this teaching, to listen to my heart, to listen to my intuition, to listen to that still, small voice of wisdom that we all have. As I have learned that and continually have to practice that so I can stay in that place, I have discovered something. And here's what I've discovered. Whenever I consciously and deliberately stand up to the world, okay, calmly, consciously, lovingly, non-critically, not from ego and not in defiance, and I make a decision based on my own true inner beliefs and desires, even if that decision is saying no, which it sometimes has to be, things usually work out pretty well. I've learned they work out pretty well. Now, they may not turn out exactly the way I thought they were going to turn out, and frequently don't, but more often than not, they turn out just fine. Now, that is neither an accident nor a coincidence. It's because when we learn to open the door to our true self, our higher self, our Buddha self, Ursula called it, our God self, That's what I like to call it. We allow ourselves to be supported by this presence we call God that is always, always, always there to support us. All right? And the good news is, when we open ourselves to that support, the answer is always yes. The answer is always yes. By choosing to say no to the people and things that do not bring joy into our life, we leave more room for those who do. We allow ourselves to make the best possible choices about how we spend our time and who we spend our time with. That way we can spend a lot more time being happy than being worried or afraid or bored, which is the worst. We can spend a lot more time with people we love than we do with people we just tolerate, and we can spend a lot more time doing the things we enjoy instead of doing what everyone else wants us to do. And as a result, we can live the kind of life that we choose to live, which is exactly what we are here to do. So everyone who agrees with me this morning, say yes. Yes. Good, because this is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's take a few moments. Take the ideas that resonated with you from your own personal experience. I give these ideas to you freely. Set aside the others for later. And please know this with me. There's only one. There's one mind that we all share. There is one love that we all are. There is one creation that is ever recreating itself in, as, and through us. We are that closely interconnected with all of life. Not just with the other people, but with the planet, with the ideas, with the emotions, all of us interconnected. And in this way, we create our world. So as we look at the world around us now today, as we look at the news, at the events going on in Gaza and Iraq and Ukraine and Africa, Kenya, all these different places, we remind ourselves that the world is a mirror. It is a mirror of the collective consciousness. So I resolve this moment to offer something better into consciousness about the world. I allow myself to say no to violence and say yes to peace. I allow myself to say no to lack and limitation and yes to abundance. I allow myself to say no to injustice and suffering and to say yes to life. And as I do this, I allow my actions to reflect my beliefs. I stand up and speak for justice, for freedom, for love, for peace, for kindness, compassion, not just in the big things, but in the little things too. In my own neighborhood, my own community, my own city, state, country, and in the world. I recognize that by saying no, I do not just affect those who can hear me speak, I affect the one mind that we all share. And as I begin to think that way, and others of like mind think that way, our conscious, positive desire to say no to that which does not serve the world begins to spread. It touches those we touch, and touches those that they touch, and it begins to flow out. A flowing pool of conscious awareness that will not tolerate anything less than the spiritual magnificence that we should be creating. So as I look at what's going on in the world, I do not get scared. I do not get angry. I do not criticize individuals. I simply know something better. This is the power I have. This is the power we all have as one. And this morning we claim it. As I recognize this truth, I give thanks. Recognizing the sacred significance of my thoughts and beliefs, and I honor the greater ideas that come to me and through me as my ability to express God in the world, and I honor these ideas in every other person. This is the truth for me and for all of us. I accept it and release it in consciousness, letting it be so. Please join me in saying, and so it is.